Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Soon as Aaron Rodgers talks today, we'll be turning that around as fast as we can, and you can hear from the Steelers quarterback. Bob, my first question for Aaron Rodgers would be, were you medically cleared to play the other day?
Yeah.
Yes or no, please, if you could. You know what I mean?
I thought yesterday Mike would say that. One way or another.
He wasn't asked.
Wasn't he? I thought he wasn't. No.
No, he was asked Friday by Mike DeFabo.
Friday, right? That's, yeah.
But Friday, it didn't really matter yet. It was still a good question, but what mattered was the decision was made Saturday.
Yeah, and
was Aaron Rodgers medically cleared to play?
And based on yesterday, how he made it sound, still up in the air, right? That's my takeaway from that comment. Is it yours? He didn't say he's going to be practicing this week.
When Mike Tomlin does his injury report, if he says he's optimistic, I think guys play 95 to 100% of the time. He said that Sunday. He said it yesterday. If he doesn't believe that, he says you're leaving the light on for him. We'll do this. We'll do that. He said he was optimistic about Rodgers. In my experience, that means he thinks he's going to
play. Didn't he say that last week, though? Didn't he?
No, he did not say that last week.
I thought he did, but whatever. I mean,
he said last week Mason will be getting all the work this week.
But all the If you read the between the lines, it seemed to me like he was going to play. I came away thinking he was going to start.
So did I.
So if the answer is yes, he was medically cleared, then that's a whole different discussion. If the answer is no, he wasn't, then he's not medically cleared. There's not much you can do.
Well, if he wasn't medically cleared, why wouldn't you just say that and put all the discussion to rest?
I don't know.
There's no discussion to be had, guys. Aaron wasn't medically cleared. I had no choice in the matter. I'm just the head coach. Why wouldn't he just say that? I think because he was medically cleared and because Mike made the decision not to play him.
Well, we'll find out because this week's a very important game and they brought him for games like this. So if he's ready to play.
And games like Chicago, which may cost them the playoffs too, or at least the division, but we'll see. You're right, though.
Those two games coming up are the most important of the season. They have direct playoff implications. They're winning your division and also getting in the playoffs tiebreakers.
That has to be the first question to Rodgers today. Please, the people over there need to get together and say, let's ask him, somebody, were you medically cleared to play? Yes or no? He says, yes, and I wanted to play, but Mike just thought better of it, whatever. And then you say, okay, then I assume you're medically cleared this week as well. It's only getting better, right? Or if he says no, I wasn't medically cleared, then the next question has to be, are you now? Why even ask you any questions about this if you're not medically cleared? It's pointless.
Right. And normally, if you're going to play, you talk. The ones who are not playing normally don't talk. He's a different character, of course. He's Aaron Rodgers, so I think everyone wants him to talk every week. But if you're not the quarterback that's starting, most of the time you're not going to talk.
Well, maybe he won't talk today. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if he's done it so far. I haven't heard anything about it.
Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. Are you monitoring this situation?
I am, yes. I've seen Cam Hayward has made comments, but I haven't seen anything from Rodgers yet.
What did Hayward have to say?
Basically, he said it's about execution as opposed to blaming schematics to this point, kind of a generic answer.
I'd love to hear their private conversations if Patrick Queen is publicly ripping the schemes. I'm sure privately they don't have anything to say about the schemes, right?
I think all you have to do is look at that comment, his body language. He was hesitant to say it, but he said it anyway, yes.
Yeah.
And also look at the body language of T.J. Watt when he was at the podium. I thought it went beyond a frustration. It was almost like, what's happening? What are we doing? You know, just looking at it, he was the definition of somebody who was down, frustrated, apparently not with many answers.
Sean, let's go to Paul in Washington, shall we?
That sounds like a great plan.
It's never a bad one.
By the way, Joe, did you try to sneak in on Saturday?
Where?
Into the show I was doing. Did you call under an assumed name?
I did. I called, who was it? Was it Ben in Franklin?
No, I was.
Something like that, yeah.
I had warned Dom before, and he did
Dom
a good thing.
Me,
he knew it.
And he got me good, although he didn't know at first.
He didn't?
No.
Okay.
He did not know at first.
Okay. What's up, Paul?
No. It was Chris in Mullerstown. That's who it was. Go ahead, sir. Hey, Paul.
All righty, Giuseppe and Roberto. First of all, I want you and your families to have a blessed Thanksgiving.
You too.
And also City Limits and Sean, Seth Meyers, and all the callers out there. But let's get right
Thank
down
you,
to
Cornelius.
Brass tacks.
Yeah.
I have been saying for years that I've been calling this program, Mike Tomlin is the ultimate problem as well as Art Rooney. And I think it's time for his son, Dan, who we've been told is the heir apparent, to make that walk down the hall, knock on the door, maybe not even knock on the door, maybe just open the door and just say to his father, the game has passed you by. It's time for you to leave. It's time for new blood. It's time for a new approach. It's time for a whole new regime, because this mess is an absolute mess, and I find it ironic that everybody in the listening audience is now on the bandwagon, but you still have a couple of the Tomlin jockstrap holders out there that will defend him till the end. But I just want to know what you guys think of the media who's finally asking the tough questions. Where were you,
Paul? I love you. I love you, but I was just about to read something too on a column I did today about Patrick Queen questioning the scheme, and a guy named Gary Marini. Geez, this defense has stunk for a decade, particularly in the biggest games, and we're just now inferring Tomlin's the problem.
No, that's not the case.
I'm speechless. Do you not listen to sports talk radio? Do you not read columns? I wrote after last season that Tomlin should be fired. I've been critiquing him harshly for years and years, and so have I could just list names of people, everyone on the station that I know of, Tim Benz, people on other stations. What are you talking about? And again, I love you, Paul. What are you talking about by painting a picture of finally the media's jumping on board? Maybe the national media, if that's what you're talking about. Yeah, I would agree. That's what I said earlier, the national media. But locally? Locally? Locally, the media has been crushing Tomlin, I think in many ways rightfully, for years, Bob.
And listen, after every one of these playoff losses, we've had to go on the air and take a lot of criticism and calls. And that was very prevalent, you know, after every one of these playoff losses, just because of the nature of how they lost. You can understand losing a tough game in an overtime or down to, you know, some field goal at the last few seconds, but by getting wiped out as easily as they have, especially early in the game, when you're supposed to have your best opportunity offensively, and yet it never has happened in the last eight times they've been in that situation. So
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, it's certainly mounting.
Did you see the story in the Post-Gazette about, I think this is by Mike White, that there's a standout middle linebacker from Peters Township, James Spratt, who's also a pilot, Bob? And there's a picture of him flying a plane. They call him the flying linebacker.
And he also, James Spratt, Mike and I did that championship game the other night. He was unbelievable. And Mike told the story on air about his flying and that he loves being in the air. He was flying around the football field, I can tell you that. 23 tackles in that game against Pine Richland. Every tackle he made, it was James Spratt who was at the bottom of the pile.
Would you want to be a pilot, Bob, or at least try it? I wouldn't.
No. Would you jump out of a plane?
God, no.
Okay, me neither. I just...
My stepson, did that. There's a photo of him doing it. I would...
What was his reaction after he did it?
He loved it.
He wanted to do it again.
And the photo shows it. If you offered me $10,000, it's not that I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it. As soon as they opened the bottom of the plane, I would faint.
Or you'd have one of those explosions that you talk about, because that's what happened with me. I would not be able to go through it.
I couldn't. Even the thought of it, they're just sitting here thinking about it. I feel like I need medical attention, Bob.
Have you ever climbed to a height, to a spot and looked? I can't even do that.
Yes.
I've
jumped off telephone poles on ropes courses, and that took a lot. I've climbed to the top of a telephone pole with a.
And what was your heart rate, I wonder, at the top?
I don't know, but you have a strap around you, like you're on belay, I guess they call it.
Yeah.
To where once you jump, obviously, the guy down below does something with the rope to catch you, but that's not of much comfort when you're standing on top of the telephone pole, Bob.
There's also a chance that rope would break.
I know that. I know the rope could break.
That's the stuff that would get on my mind. I don't even think about it.
Sean, would you jump out of a plane?
No, I wouldn't say I'm horrified of heights, but I don't enjoy them. So if I'm up somewhere, you know, I think I went to what's it called, the CN Tower in Toronto or whatever. Yeah. I get close enough that I can kind of appreciate it, but I don't get right up to the edge of things.
Bob, my like stomach starts to feel queasy as I look at this photo of James Spratt above the clouds. I would pass out if I was in charge of the plane. And I looked around and we're how many feet are you up? 15,000 feet? 30,000 feet?
I would
pass out.
But he's had an absolute fascination with doing it, and he's followed up with it. He's gone through all the stuff he has to go through to be a pilot, and he loves it. So,
Bob, now that we're radio partners, would you like to do a duo ropes course with me where we have to like hold each other up on a tightrope and stuff just to build trust?
No.
Would you do that?
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
No.
I can't either.
No.
What a horrible
the highest
pair
I ever
been.
Talk about heights. When we did the Olympics, went to the top of a luge run.
Yeah.
And also the ski jump.
I went in a helicopter once.
That is nerve-wracking. I can't even imagine going down there flying through the air. Must be a great feeling if you can get through that.
Yeah, if you live. I went in a helicopter once in Vancouver. It was me, Dejan Kovacevic, Paul Steigerwald.
Is this a hockey thing?
Was Bob Airy there?
Related.
It was the late 90s. And Steigy knew some helicopter operator in Vancouver. And the next thing you know, we're not hovering above the ground. We flew to the top of a mountain. Like, what are the mountains called out there? I forget. Bob, we went to the top of a mountain where it was snow-capped. And I'm in a helicopter. And to my right, where that console is air and sky. This guy makes a sharp right turn. I'm flying out of the helicopter.
Some people jump out of there and go down and ski. They jump out of helicopters to ski.
You know what else he did? He, I think, cut off the engine so we would droop down toward the ocean. I can't believe I lived.
Have you ever been on a hot air balloon?
I wouldn't go on one of those.
I've done that.
A trillion years.
And at the time when I did it, I just trusted it. We went up. Very nice. Landing was a little rough, but it was fine. Did it again after that.
Really?
My wife loves that kind of stuff. But then every, you know, on Instagram now, all you see are those photographs and those videos of those things getting somehow punctured, or the, and then they go straight down. And I just,
the irony there is I would have to be airlifted out of the place before I ever got on the balloon. Yeah.
I saw once Terry Bradshaw's daughter, they were doing a parasailing thing. This was down in, where were we? It was one of those in the Bahamas somewhere. I can't remember the name of the place. But he was staying at the same place as his daughter. They had a problem with it, and the thing went down.
Oh, believe me.
And so she had an injury to her leg. And that's the kind of stuff still that I
did that.
I've done that too, but I don't want to ever do that.
I was just going to tell you, in Cape May, did it with my daughter. So we're on the back of a boat. Against my better judgment, I get strapped in there with ropes. And then obviously as the boat moves, you go way up in the air. And there's really, it's cool at first, and then there's nothing to it except I hope nothing goes wrong. We're just sitting up there, way up in the sky, and all I can think about is what if something goes wrong? What if I get tangled up here? What if then I'm trapped underwater and I'm tangled up in the rock? It's not fun,
You
Bob.
Have to have an escape
it's
plan.
It's not fun.
You have to have an escape plan in advance, figure out
there's
what you're going to do.
There's nothing fun. There's nothing fun about a roller coaster. And that's why I tell the guy, I make the guy come over. I'm like my mom. I make the operator, you know, when he checks to see if everybody's in?
Totally.
I'm the guy who calls him over to double check and test the little bar in front of me to make sure it doesn't fly open.
And you never know. You never
and
know
every
if the guy's
going to
be thorough about
that.
She's
got me up in one of those. I start yelling at her on the way up. You did this. Why'd you do this? I hate this. This isn't fun.
I can show you a picture of me, of all things, on a little tiny, tiny roller coaster down in Disney. It's called Seven Dwarfs Ride.
What, you go an inch off the ground?
No, it's more than that. I thought it was just an inch off the ground, but it's more. I'm just not fan. And you know how they always take your picture?
Yeah.
And then you can buy it afterwards?
Right.
You should see the facial expressions.
I can imagine.
It was terrible.
You and I wouldn't do well on a ropes course together, Bob. I can't even get in an elevator. All I think about is what could go wrong just that one time and the thought of being stuck
in an elevator?
There. Yes.
We've been stuck in elevators.
Who?
My family. We were down in
your family was stuck
Florida.
In an elevator?
Yeah, it we were all, and I'm talking my granddaughters and everything, and they got a kick out of it. And they had to call the fire department, and it took a while. There were other people on there. And it was
you freaking out?
Not really, because I know I've seen those and how fire people come in and something goes wrong with it. You're stuck. My wife, on the other, was thinking out loud about what happens if we go down and it just completely free falls. And
right.
I said, you can't think about that.
Exactly.
We're here. You can't think about that.
The free fall. I'd be thinking about that. I'd be sweating. I'd be having an anxiety attack, and I would become the biggest problem.
Granddaughters thought it was cool. And when they came, eventually they opened it up and we all had to crawl out.
That's like when my wife went into labor. It was me who started to employ the Lamaze classes that we did, not her.
You start breathing.
Yeah, and I said I might need medical attention. And the nurse said, we're not here to take care of you, honey.
Oh, my God.
That was the problem, Sean, is that I started to freak out when she went into labor.
Are you a take the steps pretty much at all costs over an elevator guy?
Yes.
So what? Like how many floors would it have to be for you to take the elevator instead of steps?
Good question.
Thank you.
Over six.
Yeah.
For sure. We also took the elevator at the Sky Dome or whatever that place is in Toronto, Bob. You know that? God, I hated that. The outdoor kind of elevator where you're looking down. There's nothing enjoyable about that.
Well, unless you like it. And there are a lot of people who like that stuff. So if that's your thing, then go for it. I like it to a degree. And then I get a little nervous.
What were we talking about before?
I have no idea.
Me neither. Let's talk about the Pirates coming up. There's
a lot
going on here.
Oh, yeah, you said something with Ken Rosenthal, which is very interesting.
Yeah, Travis Williams made it a point to go out in front of the media yesterday and say, oh, we screwed up last offseason, but wait till you see what we got here. What do we have here, number one? And number two, is there an ulterior motive for the Pirates to be spending money? Or, put in a less nice way, are they being ordered to spend money this offseason? Ken Rosenthal seems to imply as much. Let's talk about that next. On Pomp and Joe, fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Man, this Thanksgiving is a great football slate. Bob and I just talking about it. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge, is introducing a brand new way to build a parlay together. It's called Pass the Leg, and here's how it works. Start a group build, add your pick, then pass it to your friends so they can add theirs. When everyone's done, each lock in the group parlay with your own funds, because football is better when it's played and bet together. And to make it even better, everyone gets a 50% profit boost to use on their build. What will Joe Burrow do? Would you go under, thinking he might be rusty? It's going to be an interesting situation there. So grab your crew, start your build, and get in on the action this Thanksgiving with Pass the Leg. Visit FanDuel.com/Starkey to get started. FanDuel, play your game. 21 plus and present Pennsylvania, opt-in required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.